You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to a semi-emergency edition of the Grizz Den podcast. We had a Ja Morant return last night in a 115-113 buzzer-beating victory in New Orleans over the Pelicans. The win was so good that we wanted to deliver a podcast into your feed before the home game of the year tomorrow against the Pacers. So with that, I will welcome my two co-hosts to the show. First, Brantley Davidson. Brantley, how are you?
Are we sure we just need to make this a podcast about what Kraft dreamed last night?
Truly, on the M bridge, or the, excuse me, the walking bridge. Man, what a hit. Yeah, Kraft, the bard of this podcast, welcome.
Thanks. 10.5 games back of the 2 seed that I will be continuing to update the Grizz Den listeners. But seriously, thank you all. I do want to say a quick thanks to everybody for sharing that last pod. You know, not just my story, but just the last pod in general. I feel like we've had a lot of people, new listeners, and so that it's exciting, and thank you all for being fans.
So I think we should just set the scene. Ja Morant has been suspended for 25 games. He comes back on a night that was unique in a couple of ways, and the number one of which was it was on national TV. And there were only a few games going on last night, so the spotlight was entirely on him. And number two, we really have not heard from Ja except for that one press conference at the end of last week. And so there was this sense of mystery. We commented on it briefly in the weekend update. But Brantley, before we get into the game itself, I just wanted to get your take on how you feel about what Ja Morant has been saying, what the vibe is as he is now, you know, integrated into this team on a full-time basis.
I think I was a little more neutral on his first press conference here in Memphis. I just kind of felt like it was just very standard, non-emotive. I've rewatched his full presser from last night, and I think there's some better sound bites and emotion, obviously, from him now that he's actually been back on the court and played. To me, that presser after the game was a little bit more revealing and to the true nature of who Ja is. You know, like he said sort of the similar things that he talked about in his first, in his, you know, his press conference earlier in the week that y'all talked about. And he was very, not in a bad way, just kind of flat, right? Like that was, he was, versus last night, he had the right answers in certain contexts, but then he was back to being Ja, which I want him to be that way. Like I want him to hold receipts. That's what makes him awesome. And you know, that's what makes him, you know, a little bit, if he straddles that line really well, that's what gives him that different level of superstardom that I think has brought him to have a Ja 1, you know, like all those types of things. So I personally, I think we're seeing an open, I thought we saw a real form of Ja last night in his presser, you know, even the like sort of like how Bane was holding him accountable. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in a second, but just sort of like cross-referencing his press conference comments with some of the Athletic articles and things like that that have come out, where it's now those guys kind of see themselves as a little bit of equals on the team and holding each other accountable. That is just really great stuff, I think, for both who we want Ja to be off the court and on the court as well. So that's kind of been my main takeaway, is just is what his press conference. So if you haven't watched that press conference last night, I think it was, you know, to listeners, it'd be worth going to look up and see, because I do think you started to see a little bit of maybe a little bit of an updated version of Ja with some of the old still there, which was great.
Love it. Kraft, how did you feel going into the game last night beforehand? Just to give context, Kraft actually came over to my house at halftime. So I think there's something there. Obviously, the second quarter didn't go great. But then all of a sudden, he walks in the door and things start to go positive, which I think those things are connected. I don't know. But Kraft, what was your expectation pregame? And then when you arrived for the second half?
No, I mean, I definitely, you know, I tend to be an overly optimistic person, but I actually didn't. Maybe I was just guarding my emotions, but I kind of was just, this is Ja's get right game. Which we did see. I mean, he had to go to back to locker room to get oxygen. He actually took himself out of the game twice before Jenkins was ready because of how tired he was. Jenkins actually started running plays for somebody else. So I thought, this is Ja's get right game. And then, you know, the rest of the team, they're on a back to back. I know that it was a blowout and that guys didn't play heavy minutes, but it's just that's a schedule loss. Like in a normal regular season with Ja not coming back, we would have been saying that's a schedule loss. So schedule loss plus Ja get right game. I really did kind of look over this game to Thursday and just basically came in just saying, I just want to watch Ja again, like, and not just, and not be on YouTube highlights, but I just get to see Ja. That was what I was excited to do. So I came in with honestly pretty low expectations. I was obviously disappointed by the halftime deficit, but I didn't go in, you know, expecting some, definitely not expecting what happened. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the first quarter overall went pretty well. I think you could immediately see Ja's impact on how the offense ran. He was, in my opinion, just as up to speed on everything as I would have expected, even with a different starting unit besides Jaren and Bane. I also wanted to note this for the game. He was at a 44.6% usage rate, which, if you're not familiar with usage rate, basically what that means is anytime you are the one that's ending a play, so whether that's a field goal attempt, an assist, or a turnover, that's how often you're considered to be the initiator of things that are happening on offense when your team has the ball. Right now, Luka Doncic is leading the NBA overall in usage rate, and that's at 39%. So Ja last night at 44% immediately made that much of an impact on the team. We had our highest offensive rating thus far throughout the season, 34 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. That's with being 0 for 5 from 3 as well. So it's just, to me, I just saw a whole new complexion. But the second quarter still happened. There was still a 28-2 run. And so in my mind, I was sitting there at halftime just kind of like, all right, I love having Ja back, because in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, we're not out of the game. We come back in the third quarter and start to play well, start chipping away. And that's when I was thinking, again, just about Ja's minutes. And I was wondering when he was going to actually come back in. He ended up coming in the fourth quarter with about 8 minutes left. And so he played, I mean, 35 minutes, and Jenkins had told a few reporters, you know, we're not going to play his normal stint, which he typically likes to play two really long stints in the game, which normally that's the first and the fourth, and then you kind of insert minutes in the second and third as needed. And we instead saw Ja kind of go in and out. And I just thought overall, just the impact that he had on the offensive end in particular can't be overstated. I mean, it was just a whole new team. To me, it's just we have a whole new life. And that's without even the hero ball that he played near the end. I just thought overall it was a new team. Brantley, what was your initial takeaway from seeing just one game of Ja with this team, injured as they may be?
I think that when we had our last marathon pod, one of the things that I was, I guess, expressing caution on was just that we know what Ja's capable of, but we weren't sure. There still was something that we needed to see to confirm that on the court, we were going to get an immediate return. You know, and also it's like, hey, we're decimated. We're really struggling. Can he really just be dropped in and all of a sudden us just be like back to old Grizz team from 2 to 3 years, you know, 1 or 2 years ago? So I honestly, like, I still think we need to not overreact. Like, part of me, my fandom wants to say like, yep, we're back to normal. This is going to be great. It's going to be fun the rest of the year, which Kraft will probably tell me that's the way I should think after one game and one sample size. The other thing but to me, I think what we did see at least at a minimum was that the benefit of him being able to travel, practice, play with the team, there wasn't this, I think we saw it some last year after his first suspension where he was sort of feeling things out, trying to get comfortable. The team was trying to respond and react to him. Honestly, it felt like he, and the announcers were saying this, and this was all over Twitter, it just felt like he'd been playing all year. And I think because he sort of has been. Like, he was just dropped in, and there was a fluidity on the offensive side of the ball that really should not have existed, which I thought was super encouraging for what could look like the rest of the year. Now, maybe when, you know, players like Kennard and Smart who enter back in the fold who have been injured, and maybe he hasn't gotten those reps yet, maybe that's where we'll see a little bit of drop-off. I'll be sort of curious to see what that looks like. The other thing that I just honestly was, not that we haven't seen this from him at times, but just so encouraged and honestly kind of flabbergasted in terms of like, man, I can't believe I just got that word in there. But shocked a little bit just at his impact was on sort of like the residual defensive side of the ball. Like, he had a couple takeaways from JV. You know, he was making hustle plays at the baseline, you know, throwing balls, you know, into Zion's, you know, waist, to torso, whatever. They're both large, so whatever you want to say. They're just those type of like hustle type plays that I'm not saying that we haven't seen those from him, but we saw it at a higher clip in that one game than maybe we've become accustomed to. What if some of this sitting out has helped him see even more of like the overall leadership impact types of things? And I know that winning cures all, but like there was something to the look and feel, body language, chemistry part of the team that did just change. It was almost like the team knew they needed their guy. And that was one of the scenarios that we proposed. It's like, is the team just know that they are nothing without Ja? You know, and I don't want to overreact, but this is what kind of felt like a little bit to me in one game. It's just, again, one sample size, one game, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It was, it's interesting to me. Obviously, you had the post game comments where Ja kind of suggested potentially using Bane and Jaren and for the last play, and basically Bane and Jaren being like, you know, that's not going to happen. You're taking the last shot. And I think it's so interesting to me how because I mean, and I guess it's exciting for the future, but like how quickly Bane wants to be number two and not number one. Like, he is not interested in being number one. How quickly Jaren is fine being the defensive anchor and the third option on offense, that they just quickly loved going into those roles. I think for me, also just noticing how much space Ja creates, that, like, you know, those 3-point shooters we had were just a little more open. And obviously it's great when you have a guy who actually passes the ball perfectly to their shooting pockets as well. But for me, the biggest, I mean, looking at, you know, at the stats, and of course it's like our eyes tell us our offense looks way better, And then you look and you realize, and the Pelicans, you know, despite my, I like to joke about some of the Pelicans players, and I think JV and Zion and some others aren't great defensively, but they're the 12th best offense around where we are, honestly. They're a very good defense in the NBA. That if we were that offensively efficient as we were last night, if we were that way the rest of the season, that's the third, that would be number three in offensive efficiency. And so just showing, and by the way, we were 30th. We were dead last in offense coming into this game. And so the fact that we had a, you know, basically what would be a third best offensive team performance yesterday, I mean, that is unbelievable impact. And I think, you know, people had talked about how when Jaren came back after 14, 15 games out and we were, I think, 29th on defense and all of a sudden jumped into the top 10. I think, well, I do also, yes, shockingly, I don't want to overreact too much either. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see if going from 30th, like is in the worst offense, what Jaw, if Jaw can obviously be here for the next 57 games, where our offense ends up. And do we begin to see a rise in our offensive efficiency with each game? And I think that's, you know, and last night told me, yes, we're going to see that. I mean, it was, you know, it just, it flowed, everything worked, you know, just it felt natural. Everything that's felt weird. And even like you were saying, even with Jaw, what's great is we used to just have turnovers and it was just hopeless. When Jaw turns the ball over, you know, basically in the next two or three possessions, either on defense or offense, he is going to make up for that turnover immediately. And just that kind of competitiveness that he has is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you dig in a little bit more, we shot 67% from corner three. Like we were 6 of 9, and that is 100% to do with how Ja draws people in. And if you can put guys there that can hit a shot, even with the scrubs that we have right now, we were still 6 of 9. So imagine if we have real shooters out there. The other thing is at the end of a shot clock on offense, it just seemed as if we had to, in the first 25 games, work so hard for every single thing that we got. And you saw three possessions in a row in the last minute and a half of the game, Ja taking his man, which each time was Herb Jones, touted as one of the best wing defenders in the NBA, all three times got exactly where he wanted to go and hit layups in the paint. When they were a team that was crowding the paint, they knew the Grizzlies weren't a good shooting team. And they were just, I mean, there's at one point, and I think it was early fourth quarter where I was just watching and made the comment, like, I can't believe how many guys just have 1 foot in the paint right now. But Ja's that good. Like, he can do whatever he wants to do. And I just want to pause for a second and just acknowledge how unbelievable the last few possessions of the game were. Because it's not as if the Pelicans played a bad offensive game either. They didn't give us this game. We absolutely took it. And Brandon Ingram was hitting every shot. Zion was his typical, just he has one big dunk and then, you know, we'll play bully ball a few possessions, but didn't have a lot. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas, in my opinion, was probably their second best offensive player. He had 22 points, 14 rebounds. And my personal favorite part of the fourth quarter and second half in general was how bad CJ McCollum ended up being after a Grizz killer first half. I mean, Vince Williams, man, he can, after hitting that three, talking his trash going into halftime, down 19 or whatever it was. I mean, CJ, listen, I'm not saying it worked.
Give him a roster spot tomorrow, yesterday.
Agreed. Like, I don't know who, I mean, I guess when Smart comes back, he'll start. But man, Vince is just, he's been a revelation.
Yeah. Well, hey, we threw darts at a bunch of wings, and hilariously, the least touted guy who's been on a two-way is probably going to be the one that sticks. Like, he's probably going to be the one guy on the roster next year compared to all these others.
Yeah. And I just wanted to also give a very special shout out to Jaren, who had 14 points as well in the fourth quarter. Ja also had 14, 27 total in the second half. But Jaren, a lot of that was from the line. 7 of those points were from the line. And if Jaren Jackson can continue to draw fouls, Kraft, you mentioned this earlier in the year, but the fact that he's drawing as many fouls these days as he used to struggle with committing in the past is huge. And especially if he can actually hit free throws, because now that Ja's back in the mix, it's not as if Ja's like an incredible free throw shooter, but he gets to the line a whole lot. So if we can really slow down the game in that respect, I don't know. I just wanted to say too. Yeah, I mean, Jaren just was played a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge deal. I mean, right now, Jaren, I think, is third, but he's right there with, and it's like Giannis, Embiid, and Jaren. I mean, it and if you think about what, you know, Ja begins to get back in the flow, get some respect from the refs. He kind of didn't early, but he did late. And you're talking about two guys that are, draw fouls, us getting in the bonus in the first 3-4 minutes. I think that was a big part, honestly, of our comeback in the second half was we got in the bonus early. And in the third and fourth quarters, and just used that both to, you know, for defenses to not play as physical with us, but then also obviously to get the line a lot. And I think that's, you know, we've been talking about it forever. I mean, this is 2 years we've been talking about how negative our free throw rate is and how we've had to overcome free throw rate like crazy. If that ever got, you know, if that ever got into a positive category for us, I mean, that talk about our offensive efficiency going high.
I'm curious, maybe I think it's fair for us to maybe even like just talk for like a little bit about now that we have Ja back. It is obviously incredible. There's no doubt that our games are going to be fun when he's playing. But the second quarter was still very concerning to me. And because believe it or not, Ja can't play every minute. And it was now even more of a drop off of like how, Will, to your point of how hard it is to score and create when Ja's off the court. So like to me, I think what I kept thinking was, man, we need some of our guys back. Like we need like having a Smart who can do some playmaking, you know, having a Kennard healthy who can maybe be a little of a score off the bench in those moments when Ja's not there can help shoulder, you know, the burden off of Bane. I guess but do y'all think that it's that simple? Like to me, it just almost feels like there's got to be even more modifications of like what we or how we need to run our offense when Ja's off the court. And I'm not sure if we've cracked that code yet. And it could, because we have to do something more than obviously what happened in those moments. And it may be a completely different style. Can we even do that?
It's interesting because last night, one of the non-Ja observations I had was that Bane seemed to really struggle. And he didn't really start playing and hitting shots until down the stretch. Incredibly, still ended with over 20 points. But it really is something that I think we're going to have to require of Bane to anchor a second quarter offensive unit. And that might involve playing a different offensive style. If anything, that's what I would try to leverage that a bit more if I'm Jenkins. Maybe reduce Bane's minutes near the end of the first quarter. And have him come in. I just think there shouldn't ever be a minute on the floor where either Bane or Ja are playing. Where it's just at this point in the season, if we really want to try to make a run, it's that dire of a need. And you really need Bane to actually be playing well. We're not at the point yet where, I mean, we saw last night that he can still have a bad game by his standards and now we can win. Before that was impossible, but now if Bane has a good game and Ja has a good game, and then maybe Jaren has an average game for him, we're going to be really, really hard to stop. You just have to stagger that. And I just looking at the minute distribution in the second quarter and just, I mean, just about everybody played. I mean, it was Zaire for almost 6 minutes, Tillman for over 7 minutes, Roddy played, Santi played, Conchar, just everybody played. And you look at that list of guys and you wonder how many are even going to be on this team next year. So that's just funny to take stock of who we actually had to play in that second quarter. And that's moving forward. That is the question. That's the question for Jenkins. I don't think like he can be fully absolved, even though it does help when Ja Morant's on your team and can bail everything out, but yeah. it's challenge. And I don't know what the answer is right now.
Yeah. I almost feel
that really quickly is that what's fascinating is that it did feel like Ja was making things so much easier in the first half. He clearly scored in the second half, but Bane was our highest scorer in the first half with 9 points.
Yeah.
So it's just
it's crazy.
That honestly, my recollection of the game was not that Bane scored the most points in the first half. He did take the most attempts. He was 4 for 12. So it's like there's got to be some tweaking, I think, to happen because anyway, continue. Go.
No, I think we might need to just, I mean, I think part of that, Jaren got in foul trouble. And so I think that was a huge hit. But honestly, I mean, for me, it might be, you know, play some of these subs with Jaw in the first quarter and see if Jaw and see if just Jaw's greatness can kind of carry our scrubs. And if anything, hey, just do you call 12 for every possession until, you know, and honestly let Bane and Jaren anchor a second quarter offense while Jaw is resting. I think what's going to be interesting is seeing when Jaren, what, like, hopefully Jaren doesn't have foul trouble, but it'll be interesting to see if Jaren's more paired with Jaw or with Bane as far as when the one or the two of them, or if he's going to stagger Jaren with them. Because part of me feels like, because of the how good Jaw is at just playmaking, leave Jaw with the lesser lineup, give Jaren and Bane time together when Jaw's resting. That might be the better way to go. And I feel like they did a little bit more of that in the second half.
They definitely did. Shout out to Ty Smith Sr. is not here. You know, he had sort of mentioned, you know, will Tillman look better all of a sudden next to Jaw? And like, look, if you had to ask me who I trusted to catch a ball, Bismack or Tillman, I'm definitely picking Tillman. And there were moments where maybe his X's athleticism, he can't make up for it, but his body positioning and being in the right spot really matters, and Jaw can find him. And that happened last night, and he was rewarded for it in the second half. I know Bismack was in some foul trouble too, but he had to step up. And X did, and I didn't feel that he was as detrimental as he was previously without Jaw. Like there was a leveling of the playing field that really did feel like that they had some synergies that helped out in those moments to close in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things. I think we're going to just say all year how incredible it would be to have Steven Adams or Brandon Clark on this team. And I think it's truly now, if you get into, let's say, January, and you are 5-2 or 6-2 or something like that, I think we have to have a real conversation about the trade deadline. Now, I'm of the mind that this is not the year that we're going to win the title. But at the same time, are there any moves to make that can at least give you a better chance of trying to get out of the play-in or get to the play-in, and then when you get to the play-in, into the playoffs, especially in the front court, because that's been the weakest part of our team, aside from the obvious wing struggles. So when we get to February, my hope is that we're having real conversations and debates about what to do. And I still think, again, we should have the 2024-2025 season in the forefront of our minds, because that's the time to strike, assuming we get full health and non-suspensions. But yeah, I mean, this is just exciting. I can't believe we have new life already after one solitary game. And honestly, too, if, let's say, Ja hadn't have hit that buzzer beater, we would have gone, if we went into overtime, hard-fought loss, I think would be pretty encouraged by what we saw and just the complete 180 that it seems that this team has taken overall.
But doesn't this not, and y'all's like last, if you could go back in time and know what was happening last night, and your sort of like top five Jaw moments games, to me, like, this is, I'm going to remember this night. Like, it just, it, 100%. It's one of the biggest stories now in Jaw's career, his comeback, the game. He enters the court, this perfect story, hits the game winner. Like, how awesome is it? Just is so, like, that is like so amazing. It immediately interjects like all of this momentum back into the franchise, where now it's like Thursday's going to be a sellout, and it's going to be maybe like one of the top three moments ever in the FedEx Forum.
For sure, top three regular season moments in FedEx Forum. I expect it to be a playoff like atmosphere on Thursday.
Especially because I feel like most of the top moments of the regular season have to do with who the opponent is. Like, if LeBron's coming into the building, Rudy Gay hits the shot over him, or whoever, whatever that may be. Like, it doesn't, this time it's all about us. Like, it does not matter who's on the other side, which we have a very beatable Pacers team that's also very fun. So that's going to be a bonus, but this is all about us. This is all about Ja. And I think the city, especially after the game last night, is going to lose their minds when he is announced in the starting unit. I can't wait. He really didn't have, I mean, he had a buzzer beater, obviously, but he really didn't have a Ja dunk. And I'm just waiting. I think he's waiting for the moment tomorrow night. I can't. I mean, Miles Turner better watch out. That's all I'm saying.
I don't
all right, final thoughts. Let's empty the notebook.
Miles Turner better watch out.
Maybe so. Let's go. All right, final thoughts. Empty the notebook as we close out this semi-emergency pod.
I'm excited. I mean, it just obviously game one total overreaction, but the question is Ja like a top 10 NBA player? I think so. I think like showing the impact he had on the rest of this team immediately shows that he is a superstar. He's a difference maker. I mean, he just changes everything. I mean, in the similar way to like all the guys we talk about, Giannis, Embiid, Luka. You know, obviously Jokic, all these people who like you take them out of the team, it's just a totally different team. Durant, you know, he changes everything. He makes everybody immediately better. And it's just very obvious. And I really took that away yesterday. It's not just, you know, it's more aesthetically pleasing. It's more fun. But the fact of the matter too is also just when we were down 6-8 in the fourth quarter, and I heard Harrington say this on the radio today too, but I felt the same way. Like there just was a feeling like, we can win this game. Like there was not it was not shocking at all. And that's just so different than the first 25 games of the season. And so it just makes a huge impact having a superstar.
Yeah. I mean, the last little notebook piece that I'll have is that at some point in time, what's going to be interesting is at the end of the game, Ja's going to start meriting, like teams are going to have to figure out how to double and prevent him getting the ability to go downhill. Cause it doesn't matter who's guarding him anymore. He's going to be able to get to where he needs to and have an unconventional or a conventional look at the basket to hit that shot. There was a video going around on Twitter. I can't remember who posted it, but actually showed Herb Jones in the right defensive position for like a normal athlete, but Ja's not a normal athlete. So he was able to jump and levitate over him going the opposite direction to hit the floater. And that's just superstardom. And you know, like if you have to, we've had such a negative start to the season that all of the positive vibes have got to stick with you and go into like, even if for some reason we drop one or two of the next couple games, but like if we beat the Pacers and then beat the Hawks and start this little run, like there really should become national conversation and like about what Ja's impact to our team is that has to elevate him back immediately to where he was before all of these issues. It's just straight.
Pelicans, Lakers, Rockets, Suns, Warriors, Jazz. These are the teams now that you have to be rooting against on a nightly basis, almost as passionately as you're rooting for the Grizzlies, because we are officially now, in my opinion, on standings watch. We gained an entire game last night. Would have gained a little bit more if the Warriors would have lost and didn't have some late game heroics from Steph, but it's just crazy. I can't wait for the rest of the season. It almost like whether we make it at the end of the year or not, like this season has new life. Ja Morant is that guy, and he's back on our team. So for Kraft, for Brantley, for Ty, shout out, who wished he could be here, but he'll be on the next one, I'm sure. I'm Will. Thanks for joining us, and pack the house tomorrow night at FedEx Forum.